Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. Again, we desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. For those of you that are saved, you know the power of prayer. You know what a difference it can make, even for those that might be lost or saved, listening to these messages, how God can take it and apply it to people's heart. You also know for us ministers, if you're saved, you know the impact that prayer even makes for us. It helps us to stand. It gives us the grace. It helps us to know the words to say. I'm a huge believer in prayer, and that's the reason that we ask those of you that know the Lord, please pray for these services, that God would move and work in them. We could see His blessings. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 18 today. Before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that we'd never lean upon our own understanding. Help us stand upon Your Word. Father, we need You in every way. Father, we pray that You would bless in the message. You know the need of the hour. And Father, we know without You that no good can be accomplished. Help us to stand by Your Spirit, and for the good that is accomplished, let us stand aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking in Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to begin reading in verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. And what we're going to be dealing in for the next few weeks, we dealt with a little bit of church government and went through several scriptures about those things. And one of the things we come to, and I know I'm not going to touch on every subject and everything, but one of the things we come to is church discipline. Most churches don't even know what that means. Sadly, I've had deacons at churches, when I've mentioned church discipline, say, "Well, what do you mean by that, preacher?" And I'm going, "Don't you know?" You know, I'm kind of shocked sometimes, and it used to really shock me early on when I started preaching in my young 20s and even into my mid-20s, when I went through and had so many people over the years that have said, "What in the world is church discipline?" And I used to be more than shocked by it, but now I'm not. I've learned that there's a lot of things that have gone untaught over the years in churches, and that's horrible, that's bad. And a lot of times people say, "Why'd you deal with these subjects on the radio?" Well, a lot of my radio audience is people that go to church. You know, I know that we have some lost people listening, and we try to preach to the lost too, and we try to not even get through one message without preaching something about the gospel of Christ and preaching Jesus Christ for our salvation. We try to always mention that and come back to it, but we also know that we have a lot of churchgoers that listen to this radio program, and we have felt burdened with these subjects because the truth of the Word of God needs to be taught. We're losing a lot of knowledge in our day and time in churches, and it seems like just more and more is disappearing over time. And I want people to know the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes when you mention church discipline, a lot of people don't even know that there's really three different kinds of discipline. Really four if you want to get down to it. I mean, there is self-discipline. If we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged of God. That's where it should start, in all honesty. That should be the extent of it if we're really what we need to be. But within churches, you have human beings. And you have people that get out of the will of God. You have people that get caught up in pride and different things. And when that happens, it's important to deal with it. And see, the church needs to be in unity. We need to be in the same mind. We need to be in one accord, preaching the same doctrines, upholding the same truth. We also need to be united together. That if we're not in love and doing the things of God, in the will of God, and loving one another as we should, we hinder the gospel of Christ. It hinders lost people and it hinders saved people alike. And it's a huge subject, the subject of unity. Now, some of these people today like to preach unity as, "You just let me do what I want and you do what I want." That's not unity. Unity starts with us being united in Christ. And it's not just united on salvation. We're united on baptism. We're united on who's qualified to be a minister, deacons. We're united on doctrines like creation and doctrines like security of the believer. And there are many things that we're united on. But we're also to be united in fellowship. as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our love, our care for one another, we're supposed to be united in that too. And what we're going to deal with today in Matthew chapter 18 is, what do we do when something comes up in the church that is splitting unity? Because even the Lord told us, even when we're giving an offering, that if we got old in our heart towards our brother, we don't even give the offering until we first done what? Going and get things right between our brother. That's how important unity is in the church. And love is in the church. And we're getting to a subject here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Now, sadly, the first part of that's not hardly ever done anymore. I know sometimes that even as pastor that people got upset at me, and the only way I hear about it is somebody else tells me about it. There's even sometimes that people mishear what I've preached, or I don't know how they're being deceived by Satan sometimes, because I remember one time when I went over to a person's house and they said, "Man, I heard what you preached on Sunday." And I said, "Please tell me." And he let me know, and he actually said that I preached the exact opposite of what I preached. Now, how in the world somebody can hear the exact opposite of what I preached is beyond me. But instead of that brother coming to me and settling that difference, he started to go around to other church members. That's not what God desires us to do. And I say that from a minister's perspective, but I've seen people do that in the church toward the brothers and sisters in Christ. "Well, look, she's not being the wife she needs to be." And they start gossiping, running their mouth. I'll never forget, I had a lady come to me one time. She said, "Preacher, you need to preach some of these women. They're just off doing this, this, and it." And I said, "You might want to read Titus chapter 2. Because she was an older lady in the church. And I said, "The elder women are to do what? Teach the younger women." I said, "You're trying to lay something upon me, and I haven't heard you going and doing the work that God called you to do first." And I said, "And if you have a problem with what they're doing," I said, "the first people you should go to is them privately according to Scripture." These are the kind of things that cause problems in a church. When there's a lack of respect one for another and a lack of discretion, which is highly taught in Scripture. And notice the first way that this is taught to be dealt with, not to pick up the phone and tell everybody else, not to go on Facebook and make a post, not to do all these other things. If you got a problem with somebody, you talk to them. And I will say this, sometimes if you're a little hot about an issue, wait till you calm down a little bit. Bite your tongue, hold your peace. Wait till you calm down. Because sometimes you might see, "Man, I just wasn't thinking straight." And you might can let it go on and say it wasn't near as big as I tried to make it to be. And there's sometimes that you go on for a while and say, "No, this is something that's bothering me. This is something I've got to talk to this brother or sister in Christ about." Now he makes a statement here, "If they trespass against thee." I'd be thinking an offense like somebody stole money from you, somebody talked about you, somebody did something pretty serious here. Not a small deal. But if they do that, he says, "Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." And notice the desire. What's the desire here? "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." What's the main purpose here? Reconciliation. And I'm thankful to say I have got to do verse 15 before and at the end, just the way verse 15 ended. I'm thankful that I have got to call somebody up before and say, "Listen, I had this problem and this fault." And I said, "I wanted to confess it to you. I want to talk it to you." And they say, "Man, I understand. We talk it and we get it over. Nobody else even knows about it." And we're back united. Best way it can be handled. Best way it can turn out. But sadly, that's not always the way it turns out. It says, if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more. Now we're talking about witnesses. Deacons in a church would be good here. Some respectable people in the church, preferably some elderly people that have some experience, some knowledge, some discipline about themselves, and people who can keep their mouth closed because we're trying to be discreet. Not trying to spread this business all over the church or all over the community. Trying to handle it quietly. And I'll say this, when you get two or three witnesses, it better be people that have no argument either way in whatever's going on. No partiality. Need to be people that both sides can trust. Or else it's of no benefit and no good. A lot of wisdom has to be used in these situations. He says, but if they won't hear you, take two or three more, that in the mouth the two or three witnesses, every word may be established. What are these two or three witnesses supposed to do? They're supposed to hear one side while the other side's quiet. And then the other person gets to speak and tell their side. And they get to hear both sides of the argument. And they basically get to make a recommendation. Kind of like a judge. He hears both sides of the argument and makes a decision. That's what they're really to do here. They're to go there and they're to talk and they're to be faithful in the Lord. And they hear the evidence and they hear things. And they might turn to one of them and say, listen, you got upset about nothing. You need to let this go. They might have to turn and say that. They might turn to the other person and say, you know, you really have wronged this person here. And they might suggest something. They might say, you know, a simple apology could fix it. Or maybe if it's something to do with money, say, listen, you know you owe them money. Pay back what you owe them. Get this business straight. Or if they slander their name, say, you need to go and call whoever you said this to, and you need to make this right, and you need to tell them you were wrong. And they're going to make some recommendation, whatever the situation is, try to fix it. What if it can't be fixed, though? What if somebody says, I'm not wrong, and I'm not apologizing, I'm not... I mean, we have seen people sometimes get a little headstrong, haven't we? It happens. Pride sets in. People say, I'm not meaning anything. If that happens, what has the two or three witnesses done? They've heard both sides. They've seen the heart of both people involved. And now, if it's not resolved in these two or three, there's a third option. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, the church didn't start till the day of Pentecost. I don't know how they're taking it to the church. Church existed before then, didn't it? But nevertheless, in this subject, you're saying an argument between two people in the church can become church business? It sure can, if it's affecting unity. You ever gone into a church and just felt the coldness in it? You ever seen somebody see somebody in the church, and they see where they're sitting, and they sit on the total opposite side of the church from them? How does that affect lost people? How does that affect the spirituality of the church? How does that affect fellowship of the body of Christ? These are pretty big deals. When you get down to it and get to the heart of what it's causing in the church. I'm thinking one of the reasons we're not seeing more people saved in our day and time, and I know the main reason is people aren't trusting in Christ, but one of the problems is they're not seeing Christians be repentant, and they're not seeing Christians live out the Word of God. And there's not churches standing up when we have brothers and sisters in Christ not living according to the Word of God, that we're doing nothing about it. When God has given us some guidelines to deal with, He says, listen, if there's division, y'all already out of fellowship with God. God says He's not going to hear your prayers. You're out of fellowship with Him. He says He's not even going to forgive your trespasses until you forgive that other person. We're talking about some pretty serious issues here. And it comes to this place where a person's going privately and tried to solve something one-on-one. That couldn't be done. So they bring two or three witnesses that every word may be established. And now it's still rejected. Because unity of the church is so important. Love and unity in the body of Christ is so important. He says, you got to bring it before the church. The church isn't going to hear from this person over here who's offended, or this person over here who did the offending. You know who they're going to listen to? The two or three witnesses. They're going to stand up as impartial individuals before the body. And they're going to state, this is what this person said. And this is what this other brother said. And here's what we tried to recommend. And here's what we did. And this person rejected that. And maybe in some cases, both of them rejected it. And then the church has the authority to withdraw fellowship from a brother or sister in Christ. Do you know why they're doing it? Because they're already out of fellowship with God. They neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Sinner. Then this scripture that's usually taken out of context. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, subject matters here, doesn't it? What's he talking about? Is he talking about the church has authority to change the word of God or anything like that? No. He's saying the church has authority to do discipline. And if they withdraw from somebody, if they see fit to withdraw from a brother or sister in Christ, God's going to respect that in heaven. And if they restore that person, when that person repents, God's going to honor that in heaven. That is the context of that verse. But what I want you to see in this, and when I say what I want you to see, I believe what God wants us to see. Is that unity is important. Fellowship in the body is important. You know, a lot of times at business meetings, I've made the statement over the years, and I know my pastors have, and I work with small churches, so a lot of times I don't always have to say it. But I have said it before, and I have asked it, and probably will in the future as time goes on. But I've seen preachers at the end of a conference meeting say, is there anything that pertains to the peace and harmony of the body? Before they'll close out a conference meeting, they'll ask that question. Is there anything that is hindering the peace and harmony and fellowship of the body? I tell you what, if there is, needs to be dealt with privately first. If need be, might need two or three witnesses to make a recommendation to try to fix the problem of faithful, godly men. If that doesn't resolve it, then the church has to act. And they're not acting because they're trying to strike out at a brother or strike out at a sister. They're acting because they know that God is already not in fellowship with what's going on. That God's not in agreement with it. And that it's being a stumbling block and a hindrance to the gospel of Christ, to brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to the lost that see it. And if we as a church accept it, we're saying we are fine with lost people being hindered. And we are fine with other brothers and sisters in Christ being hindered from growing and drawing closer to one another in the body of Christ. I hope we're not fine with that. I hope that we're more concerned about standing up for the truth. And some people say, preacher, if we did some of this, it might cause a ruckus. It might cause a problem. Let me tell you, there's a worse problem going on if we allow it to go on. And I think when the community sees and the church member sees that we're actually serious about serving God, it'll lead to more good than bad. It'll lead to more blessings than anything else. You will never convince me that by following the Word of God, we're going to do more harm than good. Now, if we get out of the Word of God and try to handle business out of the order of God, yeah, that will lead to more harm. No doubt. But when we're acting calmly, soberly, rationally, by the authority of Scripture, and not because we're trying to strike out at somebody, not because we're trying to cast stones at somebody, but because we're trying to abide in the Word of God, you can't tell me that can't lead to anything but blessings. Even a lot of times for the individual. When the church is letting them know, we see that you're not being faithful in the work of God. We see that you're not standing where you need to stand. And again, this is an individual offense here that can lead to a church offense because it is causing disunity in the body. Disunity in the body is a very serious thing. And I can't stress that enough. And there's a lot of it going on in our day and time. And churches are trying to turn the blind eye, trying to act like nothing's going on. And then they're wondering, why isn't God blessing? Where's God at? Where are the blessings at that we used to see? And God's going, I'm still in the same place. Y'all just forgot to follow my word. God's saying instead of being in pride, we need to repent. And there's a lot of churches needing to repent of what we've allowed to go on in churches. Of hardship, of hard-heartedness, of coldness, of indifference. Of just saying it's not that big a deal or it doesn't matter. I tell you, if churches would handle more of this business, you wouldn't have. And listen, a church can start afresh. I advised this to a church one time. They said, we don't know how to do discipline. We haven't done it in years. And I said, that's fine. I said, make a motion to forgive all past offenses, but from this day forward, we're going to follow the Word of God. And I said, make a stand on it. You don't have to go back and rehash 20, 30 years or 50 years or however long it hasn't been done in the church. You can start afresh and say, you know what? We failed as a church to do this. We're going to start doing it. And we need to get our business in line. And we need to get our hearts in line. Because this is the work of God we're dealing with. This is lost souls that are watching us. This is saved people that are babes in Christ that need to know how to behave and carry on. And we haven't set the example for them. We need to start. We need to start taking this church business seriously. And we need to start seeing that a little leaven can leaveneth the whole lump. That a little lack of fellowship, a little hardness of heart, a little hatred, a little bitterness can do a lot of damage to the Spirit of God in a church. That we can hinder a lot of blessings if we're not careful. And I pray that we see that's where the heart of this Scripture's at. That's what we need to see. And notice also, verse 19. Again, this Scripture is taken out of context a whole lot, isn't it? It's dealing with the subject of discipline. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What's the context of that verse? If the church is in agreement on the discipline. On the withdrawing from a brother or sister in Christ because of a biblical doctrinal issue or lack of unity. That God said, I'm going to honor it because you're putting me above those individuals. And you're saying them following me is important. And the church being a light in the community is an important thing. We need to stand up and be the church that God wants us to be. And we need to see how important walking together in the love of Christ is in the body. So important that God said if you got a disagreement even between two in the church, it can become such a big deal that God, Jesus Christ Himself speaking here, gave authority to the church to deal with it. I will remind you, it's to be dealt with in love, not hatred. It's to be dealt with as an accountability to God, not because you prefer one over the other. There's to be no respecter of persons and things like this, as with anything in the work of God. But we need to uphold the doctrine of truth. We need to uphold the doctrine of unity. And I pray this could be a blessing, encouragement to us today. If you'd have anything upon your heart, again, you're always welcome and free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us. Our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. That's all one word, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. You can do that. You can also feel free to visit where we pastor. We pastor at New Zion in Richton, New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. The church address is 341 Cochran Road, Richton, Mississippi, 39476. We have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. More than welcome to come and visit with us in service. We also work with another church at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, located at 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama. Again, that's 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama. We have Sunday morning service at 11:30, Sunday evening service at 4 o'clock, and Tuesday night service at 7 o'clock. And you're more than welcome to come and visit in those services. Again, we just pray that this could be a blessing and accomplish the Lord's will in all that we do. We'll try to pick up next week, Lord willing, with how do we deal with somebody in the church that has been overtaken in a fault. And we'll try to explain the difference between overtaken in a fault and living in sin as we move forward. But pray this could be a blessing. Again, we pray this could be a help in every way. To Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, lead, guide, and direct, and even touching hearts and opening people's eyes to the truth as only You can. Father, we know that subjects like this are always not the most popular subjects, but Father, they are needful from time to time. And Father, we certainly pray that You could open people's eyes, at least for Your people, that could help them to study more. And Father, help the lost to see that we take Your work seriously. And our unity, our love for one another, and especially our love for the lost sinners, is so valuable and so important that these type of things must be done so that we'd not be a hindrance or stumbling block to them according to Your word. Help us in every way, Father, that we could accomplish Your will. And for the good that is done, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.